much. Isaiah 26 is our text tonight. Isaiah 26. We're going to read the first three verses of this chapter and get right into the message after our song, after the trio song, right before we, right after we pray here. All right, Isaiah 26, verses 1 through 3. You know, and now a service ebbs and flows emotionally, and when you've had this much music and singing, it's very easy to reach a high point and just get blessed. But give your attention to the Word of God. The music ministry is important, it's necessary, it's helpful, it's great, but they don't make any song that ever supersedes the Bible, the Word of God. So it's not because I'm up here preaching it, it's just because of the book that it is. Amen. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good Word. 1 through 3 is our text. Would you please join me on verse 2? And our Bible says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Lord, would you please use your word tonight in our midst in a great way. Holy Spirit of God, you have blessed us so wonderfully all day today. My, how my emotions have ebbed and flowed. God, I've been excited about the prospects of Jesus' coming to get us, as the trio sang about that. I got blessed about the message of the choir song that I can go in, Lord, and I can lift up my voice, and I can sing, and I can rejoice. So I've been blessed, oh God. I've been blessed by the fellowship of your people, but Lord, I need help from the book tonight. So come and help us in these moments, and make the Bible real to us and applicable. Help us in this time. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you, BC.
Those who know the Savior will gladly testify how God's Word brought conviction the hour they met Christ. It may have been a still small voice, but they heard the Master's call. Learning in that moment when they surrendered all, God's Word changes lives. Its power cannot be denied. The lost find salvation, the foolish become wise. God's Word changes lives. The essence of its message, the truth has never changed. God so loved He gave His Son that sinners could be saved. And whether read or preached or sung, once it has been heard, the authority of Scripture will leave no heart unstirred. God's Word changes lives. Its power cannot be denied. The lost find salvation, the foolish become wise. God's Word changes lives. So Church of God, proclaim its truth till every soul has heard the power of the gospel in God's unchanging Word. Unchanging Word. God's Word changes lives. Its power cannot be denied. The lost find salvation, the foolish become wise. God's Word changes lives. God's Word changes lives. God's Word changes.
Just a second, hang on here. Just a second. Man, that is so true, isn't it? Has that happened for you? It's happened for me. Mercy days. Now, you need to sing it again. You need to sit there and just soak it in. Soak in the truth of what it means to you. Huh? Isn't that a blessing? Sing it one more time. That's a great song. Think of what it means to you. That's what it means.
Those who know the Savior will gladly testify how God's Word brought conviction the hour they met Christ. It may have been a still small voice, but they heard the Master's call. Learning in that moment when they surrendered all, God's Word changes lives. Salvation, the foolish become wise. God's Word changes lives. The essence of its message, the truth has never changed. God so loved He gave His Son that sinners could be saved. And whether read or preached or sung, once it has been heard, the authority of Scripture will leave no heart unstirred. God's Word changes lives. Its power cannot be the lost find salvation, the foolish become wise. God's Word changes lives. So Church of God, proclaim His truth till every soul has heard the power of the Gospel in God's unchanging Word. Unchanging Word. God's Word changes lives. Its power cannot be denied. The lost find salvation. The foolish become wise. God's Word changes lives. God's Word changes lives. God's Word changes.
Praise the Lord. Great. And glory to God. Amen. And that's the truth. Glory to God. And praise the Lord for His wonderful book. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That's a great verse, isn't it? God's plan for peace. I want to talk to you about that tonight. God's plan for peace. Our Heavenly Father, we should all be able to stand tonight and testify of the truth of the song that we just heard, how Your Word has changed us. And then, dear Lord, the challenge is that it still needs to change us again. And so I pray that something that could be said tonight in this message from this part of Your wonderful book would find a lodging place in the heart of some person here tonight. Good ground where the good seed could bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. May it not be snatched away by the fowls of the air. May it not fall on stony ground or thorny ground, but Lord, may it fall on good ground tonight. Make our hearts ready and receptive to receive Your Word. Lord, we have a lot to do with that. Help me, I pray. Thank You so much for all that we've enjoyed. Thank You, Holy Ghost, for the liberty You've given us all day long today. We don't take that for granted. You would come and meet with us in this place. Beyond our comprehension, oh Lord. Thank You for coming. Help me now in these moments, I pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. I think it goes without saying, you know this, old world yearns for peace. Population, our population in the United States of America alone, by itself, not counting the population of the world, but all of it together, craves peace. People made much over President Obama's speech this week in Tucson at the memorial service for those who were killed and wounded a week ago. It was a horrible thing. It was a beautiful little girl that was killed. He gave that speech. There was great hope that his speech would bring peace, healing to a nation politically polarized by other issues. You know, you might think that believing that one man's words could make such an impact, have such an effect on the people, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. But not when the subject of that man's words is peace. Because people hunger for peace. They crave peace. Don't forget that the Antichrist will come to power and to leadership through the promise of peace. Now, that's a false peace, but he will promise peace, and the world will be deceived greatly by that promise. That's how much the world craves peace. That's proof of it. Now, people crave inner peace, sometimes in an effort to drown out the chaos that exists in their hearts internally. People turn to things that promise peace. But the truth of the matter is, those things really only create greater chaos and make matters worse. I'm talking about alcohol. I'm talking about drugs. I'm talking about other vices. I'm talking about the gambling casinos. I'm talking about all that stuff. All that stuff that the world promotes, that, boy, if you just get some of this, you'll be happy. And actually, all it does is create greater chaos. And lacks that inner peace. People crave peace in relationships. Sometimes people flee a relationship that lacks peace, seeking another one that may provide peace. And then eventually that relationship is ended. And on they go in seek of peace. Now, you know, folks, I'm preaching to the choir now. There's only one who can bring real peace to the heart of a person. There's only one who can bring real peace to relationships. There's only one who can bring real peace to the world. And that's the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, peace is the subject of my message tonight. Brief message, a few thoughts for us. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, in verse 1 in chapter number 26, the first three words of that verse are "in that day." Now, God is talking to about the time that Israel is restored to her land, her worship, and her king. Jesus is seated on the throne. He is, the millennial reign has begun. And he says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah." And chapters 25 and 26 are contain the subject of the song that will be sung when Israel is restored as a nation and Jesus is seated upon the throne there in Jerusalem. And one of the verses of that song is about peace. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you in need of peace? Is there a craving for peace in a relationship or two that you're involved in? Is there a need for internal peace? Are you worried excessively over something? Has fear climbed up on the throne of your life and seized control? And remember, friend, that kind of fear is the kind of fear that paralyzes you. Paralyzes. Can you sleep at night? Can you sleep at night without the aid of pills or some prescription medicine? Now, I'm not anti-doctor and anti-medicine if you need it, but folks, it concerns me sometimes. Concerns me. Can you sleep? Can you rest? I want to tell you tonight, listen very carefully. Peace is available. And peace is attainable. And the peace that Isaiah is referring to has two or three elements. I want to show them to you tonight. Number one, it's a provided peace. It's a provided peace. Because it says in verse number 3, "Thou wilt keep." You see, friend, God is the provider of peace. And He desires for His people to have it. Do you know that one of the compound names for God is Jehovah Jireh? Jehovah Jireh. And that compound name for God means the Lord will see to it, or the Lord will provide. It was the name that God identified Himself by to Abraham on Mount Moriah when He got ready to plunge the knife into Isaac's chest. And the angel of the Lord stopped His hand and got His attention on the ram that was caught in the bushes. And they named that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see to it, or the Lord will provide. Did you ever tell one of your kids, don't worry about it, I'll see to it? Did you ever tell one of your kids, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it, I'll provide? And what you meant by that is, leave it with me, don't worry about it, I'll see to it, I'll take care of it, I will provide, leave it with me. Now, one of the great blessings that God provides for His people is peace. Now listen, let's believe that. I'm not talking about working up some hypnotic feeling, I think I can, I think I can. Just have faith in the plain Word of God. God is the provider of peace. And God wants and God can and God will provide peace for me and for you. Let me ask you, have you given God an opportunity to provide for you the peace that you need? Or did you just run to the doctor? Or are you trying to find it somewhere else? In the listening ear of some other person. I'm not against sharing burdens with friends and prayer requests with friends. But I'll tell you something, friends. Sometimes we just leave God out of it. Try to get counsel or help from another person that we're friends with. And you know, we never really seek God because He is the provider of peace. I was thinking about this week. I was thinking about you girls especially that have involved and caring and loving dads for a father in your home. You girls, you have it made. You really do. Now, my older two daughters are married now, so they have their own husbands to look to, but I still have two daughters who look to me. One lives with me, and the other one is in school up at the college there. And once in a while, the phone rings. And the voice on the other end of the line says, Dad, my car is making a funny noise. Now, have you ever tried to describe to a mechanic the noise or imitate the noise that your car was making? I was in Meineke one time down here. And this gentleman was talking to Bill, and he was trying to explain to Bill the noise that his car was. I drive it down the road. When I turn to the right, I got so tickled watching that man trying to imitate the noise that the car was making going down the road. Then I catch myself doing the same thing sometimes. I say, you know, Bill, my car is just pop, 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 pop. I think it's funny sometimes when we try to imitate. Can you imagine being the guy on the, oh, yeah, I know what that is. I heard that sound before, you know. And sometimes I'll say, Leah, what kind of noise is it making? And a girl usually says, I don't know. Girls don't run to the mechanic. Girls don't run to their friends. Girls don't run to the shop down the street. They pick up the phone. Call Dad. Sometimes maybe even a friend in the car with them will say, well, I think you ought to call your dad. When's the last time you picked up the phone and said, Father? Huh? You know, we claim to be Bible believers. We thump our King James 1611 black bound Bible, you know, and it's the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You'll never change that. It is the Word of God. It has been. It always will be. But it's not going to do you and I a bit of good until we start living it. Isn't that something, as powerful as that book is? Like they just sang about. Pick up the phone and talk to Father. And let me give you a little suggestion. When you talk to Him, don't say, our Father. When Leah calls me on the phone, she doesn't say, our dad. I answer the phone, she just says, Dad. You can pick up the phone and just say, Father, having trouble sleeping. Father, I need some peace. He is the provider of peace. Let Him provide the peace that He is fully capable of providing. Number two, not only is it a provided peace, but it is a personal peace. I love what it says, thou wilt keep Him. Now, who is the Him in verse number three? Friend, the Him is anyone who will look to the Father for peace. The Him might be the businessman anxiously watching his profit and loss balance. The Him might be the single mother anxious about the bills and providing for the children. Him might be the college student who needs work and once he gets the job needs to learn to balance work and school and ministry. Him might be the child whose mother or father is not in the home. It could be any reason, but separation from a parent causes anxiety and the need for peace in a child's heart. Him could be the elderly couple on a fixed income. Him could be the employee whose company is slowing down in their business. Him could be the adult man or woman whose medical tests have given cause for concern. Him is anybody. Him is man. Him is woman. Him is young person. Him is child who needs peace. You see, it's personal. And it's personal for everyone and anyone who needs it. Are you in the need of peace? Are you in the need of inner peace than the peace that the Father provides? I got good news tonight. It's for you. It's for you. It's a provided peace. It's a personal peace. Let me say number three tonight, that it is a perfect peace. Verse number three says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, complete peace. And I don't think you have to read the Hebrew or know the Hebrew or know the Greek to understand the English Bible. But I do think it's interesting that in the Hebrew Bible, it's a double use of the word peace right there. You know the Hebrew word for peace is the word shalom. And the Bible, the Hebrew says, thou wilt keep him in shalom, shalom. Peace heaped on peace. Peace piled on peace. Understand, friend, according to what our Bible says tonight, this isn't peace that just gets you through by the skin of your teeth. This isn't peace just enough to get you across the line from worry and anxiety into peace. This is peace heaped on peace. This is peace piled on peace. This is peace on top of peace. This is a perfect, perfect peace. This is when you would go to grandma's house for a meal. And when dessert was served, and you took your scoop and tried to get some ice cream out, and you were going for that extra scoop, and your mother said, that's enough. And grandma took the scoop and said, here, you need a little bit more. Isn't it good to have a grandma like that? I'll tell you, here, you need a little bit more. Let me put a little bit here. You can use a little bit more. Here, you need a little bit more. Grandma always did that. You need a little bit more. This is Mimi. I told her, I said, the boys need some circus peanuts. You know what those circus peanuts are? Those orange things come in that bag. Man, I used to do it as a kid once in a while. We get some of those things. They're circus peanuts. They're good for nothing, a big bundle of sugar. But boy, they're good. I remember how much I enjoyed them when I was a kid. One day I was thinking about the grandsons, and I said, honey, buy those boys some circus peanuts. So she did. And she was up there, and I teach four classes, two and two different subjects back to back. She teaches two classes, and then she's free, so a lot of times she'll rendezvous with Hannah and the boys somewhere and do something. Hannah wanted to run somewhere, and one of the boys was coughing or something, so she went to the apartment, to the little townhouse there, and stayed with Max and Kyle, and she took that bag of circus peanuts with her. And Max, he's not much of a food guy. He really isn't, but that Kyle's a different story. He had a circus peanut. He came back for another circus peanut, and he played. He came back for another circus peanut, and Mimi didn't ever say no. He ate the whole bag of circus peanuts. And Mimi just let it go and just said, have some more. Circus peanut piled upon circus peanut. Circus peanut heaped upon circus peanut. And I'm not making fun or ridiculing the Word of God tonight, friend, but that's exactly what this means in this verse. This is a provided personal peace that is perfect. It's complete. It's peace heaped and piled on peace. Shalom, shalom. That's a blessing. Provided peace, personal peace, perfect peace. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that? And I'm not trying to be ugly tonight, but people paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars for medication that can't touch what this book right here. And I'm not being ugly. They probably gave you some. Mike, they probably gave you an amount of some pain medication. That's why you look so happy back there tonight. Amen. Amen. And I'm not against that. Don't take me that way. But I'm saying, folks, look, we got somebody to go to before we go to the doctor. Now, how does this provided personal perfect peace come to me? If you look at what the Word of God says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So it has everything to do with my mind. Now, this is not IQ. This is not smarts. This is not your propensity, your ability for learning. That's not what this is. It's not your grade point average. In fact, listen carefully, it has nothing to do with what you think about. It has everything to do with who you're thinking about. You see, this provided personal perfect peace is available to the one whose mind stays on God. The fight, friend, is not for peace. The fight is for your mind. Now quit fighting to try to find peace. Keeping your mind at war against your circumstances. Stop the energy wasted in this. I've got to get this solved and I've got to get this worked out and I've got to get a grip on my anxiety and I've got to get a grip on this thing because I'm losing sleep and I've got to do this and I've got to... See, when you're engaged with what instead of who you need to lean on, it strips the peace away. So quit being engaged with the what. In your mind, get engaged with the who. The who. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. What has never provided peace? The what has always stolen peace. The what has always taken peace. But who has provided personal, perfect peace time and time again? Can I give you some simple suggestions tonight? Finish it up. Practical suggestions. Number one, start your day by giving the situation to the Lord. Start your day. You say, Pastor, it's the first thing on my mind when I wake up in the morning. Good. Because the first thing you can do with it is take it to Father. First thing you can do. Lord, the situation is still here. But you told me to leave it with you. You told me to stay on you, to lean on you. You didn't say you'd take the situation away necessarily or change it. But you said you'd give me peace. So God, here it is. Now friend, when you do that, number two, decide that when you give it to Him, you'll leave it with Him. You know, we're real good, you know. And Father, I give you this, and here's the situation. You know about it. You know it inside and outside. And Lord, you know, it's creating havoc and chaos, and I can't exist. But you provide perfect and personal peace, and I want you to have this situation, God. Please take it. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That does a lot of good. Folks, if I got a problem with my car, I take it to the shop and I tell the man what the problem is. I leave it. I don't jump back in the car and drive it off the lot. That makes sense? So once you leave it, once you give him the situation, then decide, number two, that you will leave it with the Lord after you give it to him. Number three, support your decision with Bible verses and songs that encourage your mind to think on him. Look, this little thing about singing this year, this is not just something to fill the time for Faith Baptist Church. There is such power in good, godly music. If you'll turn Fox News off, look, folks, what has happened in Illinois this week that brought you joy? Huh? What have you heard in a month on Fox News that brought you joy? The only thing I can even remotely think of will be in 2012 when they say President Obama has been defeated in the election. I mean, that will bring me some joy. Glory to God. By the way, we are having school tomorrow. Yes. I listened to the sports scores, and I heard Green Bay just smashed Atlanta last night. Just, well, you know how fleeting that is? When you can pop in a CD off that table out there, and you can transport yourself to another realm. Well, said, that's an escape. No, it's not an escape. It's helping you keep your mind on him. Him. Because the what, thinking about the what never has brought peace. But thinking about the who has brought peace time and again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. If I was having trouble with anxiety and inner chaos right now over some situation, I'd have me some 3x5 cards in my car along with some good CD music, and I'd have that playing, and I'd forget the radio, and I'd listen to that music, and I'd read those verses, and I'd look up verses out of the book of Psalms that talk about trusting the Lord. I'd get some verses in the book of Proverbs, trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And I'd think about God and think about God. There's that great old song, Like a River Glorious. Stayed upon Jehovah, stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised. Perfect. Either it's real or it's not. Either it's true or it's not. Right? So support your decision. You wake up in the morning, it's the first thing on your mind, that's good. Give it to the Lord. Once you give it there, leave it with the Father. Support that decision throughout the day with songs that encourage you and encourage you, verses that encourage you just to keep your mind on Him. Number four, now, don't crucify me for this, but I've seen this help people. Allow for your humanity. You know God does. You know God remembers our frame. You know God knows that we're dust. Oh, it would be ideal if you could go all day long and never put your mind on the situation, but how real is that? So I've encouraged and tried to advise some people, allow for your humanity. Okay? If you're going to worry about it, give yourself a window. Take 20 minutes. In somewhere where you can gauge it. And if you want to cry and weep and fret and be frustrated, do it. And then when that 20 minutes is up, okay, God, I probably shouldn't have taken this from you, but I couldn't help it. But I'm only going to do it for 20 minutes, and now it's yours again. I think you need to allow for your humanity. Now, it's ideal if you can go all day without letting the circuit of the situation run around in your mind. But that probably, if you want to be honest about it, is not real. Because we're so much flesh. And then last of all, end your day leaving it with the Lord. Because in my experience, the worst time at all, if you'll take that book, Brother Jason, I really haven't struggled giving it to God in the morning. And I've done pretty good in a lot of cases by leaving with Him. But it's when you put your head on the pillow at night, it's quiet. That's when I'm tempted to take it back. And then it's, looking at the clock. That's the last thing you need to do. If you're going to think about it, get out of bed and pray about it. But if you're too sleepy and you need rest and you're looking at the clock and in 4 hours I got to get up, have another 12-hour day, then when you go to sleep, you better say, Lord, I'm so tempted to take this back, but it's not going to help me to take it now. So I'm going to leave it with you. Roll over. Go to sleep. So you can't. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yeah. But you got to leave it there. And roll over and put your mind on Him. Put your mind on something that you find pleasure in. Sometimes I'll be in that battle and I'll say, okay, Lord, this is ridiculous. What am I doing? It's yours. And I'll think about a baseball game. I'll try to hear the sound of the ball as it's thrown across the infield and hits the first baseman's mitt as he's warming up before the inning begins. And I'll try to think about hearing the umpire saying, play ball. And I'll try to hear the fans roar as the first batter comes to the plate and the pitch hit the catcher's mitt. And I just start thinking about that. Man, he swings a... I never make an out. You say, that's the silliest thing I ever heard of. Okay, then go ahead and take it and toss and turn and toss and turn and toss and turn, toss and turn. While this Bible you believe sits on your nightstand and says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. If I was having trouble right now, I'd put that book right there, open to Isaiah 26:3 on the nightstand next to my side of the bed. And I'd put my hand in that book before I lay down and I'd say, God, I'm going to claim that verse right here tonight. I'm going to leave this with you and I'm going to sleep. Thank you for the day. And I'd trust Him, the provider of personal perfect peace. Peace. I want to be a help to you tonight because people crave peace. And God has all we need. Amen? Yes, He does. Let's sing a song tonight. Let's sing a song. There's a good old song in the book about peace, isn't there? I think there is. Let's sing a song tonight. What is it? Is it... Wonderful peace, far away in the depths of my spirit tonight. 470. 470. Yeah, it's that. 470. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Let's stand up. Let's stand together, please. 470. You got it in your book? Ladies, 470 there. I'm sorry, caught you off guard. Father, bless the music. May it stir and bless our hearts. Thank you for being the provider of peace. Help us to take advantage of that. And to get what we need from you. Thank you for being such a caring and loving Heavenly Father. Thank you, God, for peace. Amen. Let's sing it. Introduction, far away in the depths of my spirit tonight. It's about this week of this song. We're singing now. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight. There rolls a melody sweeter than song. Ceasingly falls
o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Sing it now. Peace, peace, oh wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Learn the words here now. Oh, what a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul. So secure that no power can mine it away. Oh, while the years of eternity roll. Oh, yes, peace. Yes. Thank you, God. From my Father above, sleep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
All right, let's bow our heads. Just the piano. If you want to pray for a moment, you come. The Lord spoke to your heart tonight. We have just a brief invitation. You come if you want to. Sing out. You come. And we're going to finish up with verse number 3 in just a minute here, where he said, I'm resting tonight in this wonderful peace. Folks, don't fight the work of the Holy Ghost in your heart. If you need to talk to the Lord tonight, now's the time. Anybody came to be baptized tonight, now's the time to step out and you come. We'll finish up. Look at his words. I am resting tonight, this wonderful peace. I didn't think of this, folks. I didn't have this in my notes. This wasn't what I planned on. But when I finished that message, the Spirit of God said, same. So here we are. I am resting tonight, this wonderful peace. Look at the words of that. Isn't that something? Let's sing it together. Here we go. Mary.
I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace. Resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all danger by night and by day. And His glory.